One of the great things about this relationship is that on those rare occasions when there are problems, we talk them through. We speak candidly to each other, and that's exactly what's happened between myself and BAPAC President today.
Wishful thinking, maybe? I'll see if we can find out. That's the Prime Minister, Tony Abbott. He's speaking in Indonesia. This is after a 40-minute meeting with President Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono. All the topics that are in the air you'd know about, wouldn't you? Asylum seeker policy, spying. They would have had to have treated fairly carefully, I would have thought. How fruitful were the discussions and, well, what have we gotten out of them, I suppose? On the line now is Richard Woolcott, who's a former Australian ambassador to Indonesia. Richard, everything better now?
Well, obviously, one would hope it's a step forward from the reports that I've heard. Abbott again repeated that Indonesia is probably the most important country in Australia's foreign relations. Now, that's a position he's taken for some time, and of course, it's been unsettled by a number of issues, the alleged spying issue, which actually took place, of course, under the Rudd government. And secondly, of course, there's the whole issue of Indonesia's unhappiness or opposition to the policy of towing back the boats.
There's no doubt that the relationship with Indonesia is a very important one for Australia. There's also no doubt that it's been a strained one lately. And certainly if you believe the way that Indonesians have been speaking about it, they've been very upset about a range of things. Spying and boat people, I suppose, the main totems in that particular issue. Tony Abbott's today declared that the issue over boats has been resolved. And it seems to be on the basis that, well, the boats have stopped, so there's not a problem anymore. Do you really think the Indonesians would be satisfied with that?
I was in Indonesia not very long ago. And then there was a sort of general feeling that Australia was a large country with a relatively small population. It was not really appropriate for us to try and transfer the problem of asylum seekers and the refugees back to other countries like Nauru and Papua New Guinea and maybe even Cambodia. Now, if PM Abbott is correct and the boats have stopped, that will certainly reduce that problem. But the Indonesians, as you remember, were very disturbed when, at least on six and maybe seven occasions, our Navy inadvertently, they said, entered Indonesian territorial waters. Now, that's is a sort of issue and a problem which will continue to be a difficulty if it continues. But the timing is good. He's had a friendly meeting, and as he said, a frank meeting with SBY. There will, of course, be a new president from the beginning of October. Whenever you get a new government, you have opportunities to review policies.
Well, this is an issue, isn't it? Because there will be a new government, as you say, in Indonesia, and we don't necessarily know who it would be. If it's Jokowi, I suppose Australia would probably settle with that. If it's Prabowo, things could get difficult. I mean, do you think that this government understands just how difficult it could be and is ready for a Prabowo government in Indonesia?
Well, it's too early to say who's going to win, but the fact of the matter is whoever becomes the president is not going to have the same knowledge of Australia as SBY had, and it's probably important who the new foreign minister will be too.
They're domestically focused politicians, but they focus in a very different way. Prabowo has a much more nationalist approach to politics. Do you think that that would then come out into the foreign affairs sphere?
Well, one would have to wait and see. But I think if Prabowo were to become the president, he, I think, is on the record, or some of his military colleagues are on the record of talking about the threat from the south. But then it would be a matter for us to try and deal with that. But I don't think one should try and predict what's going to happen, because we still don't know at this stage who will be the president.
Well, in that case, I might get you to try to predict some other thing, and that is this spying code of conduct that they're currently trying to hammer out because of Indonesia's, I suppose we would say, offence at the way that they've been spied on, and even the wife of the president had been spied on. You're a diplomat. You'd know a couple of things, I imagine, whether or not Indonesia would genuinely be surprised and offended about this, but then also how a spying code of conduct like this would actually work.
Well, again, I don't know. I'm not privy to the negotiations going on. I don't see any reason why you can't come to some sort of arrangement about intelligence activities. The reason Indonesians became very upset about this was not only that the president and his wife were sort of directly concerned, but when Rudd was prime minister, he'd said to Yudhoyono that there was going to be a whole new, different strategic relationship, and Indonesia sort of expected that would lead us to treat them like close friends and we wouldn't be spying on them. But, you know, espionage activities go on. Even friends sometimes spy.
Well, indeed they do. And this is why I ask you as a former diplomat, what was your attitude to this? Did you just assume that you were being spied on?
Well, I've cut my teeth diplomatically in the former Soviet Union, so I naturally assumed I was being spied on. But not so much, no, not in Indonesia, but who knows?
Would you have been offended if you'd found out that Indonesia was spying on you? Would it have bothered you, or would you have just said, oh, well, that's the way that international politics works?
Well, I guess if one's not naive, one knows that this goes on. I mean, after all, we have the Australian Secret Intelligence Service and ASIS, and also we have ASIO, and Indonesia has its equivalent of that.
But Len, let me ask you this. If they were spying on your wife, would that have changed it entirely?
Well, I think that would have had an impact, although I imagine if you spoke to our intelligence services, they would say that, well, the reason for that was not because they were interested in what she was buying at the supermarket, but because of the political influence she had with her husband, and they'd probably argue that it was something which was important for Australians to know. But I think, by and large, Prime Minister Abbott has said that he doesn't want to take actions which will be offensive to Indonesia. So hopefully this some sort of protocol will be worked out between Julie Bishop and Matti Natalegawa. But the main thing I think we need to keep in focus is the overall importance of the relationship between Australia and Indonesia as two neighbouring countries. I mean, Indonesia is a country of growing power and influence, both regionally and globally. It's going to have a larger economy than Australia in a few years' time. Not only that, the IMF prediction is that China will have a larger economy than the United States. So the world is going through sort of seismic change, if you like, since a lot of our earlier sort of policies in relation to ANZUS and the Cold War, they were all established in the 50s and 60s, and not just the government and the opposition, but also the wider Australian public needs to come to terms with the greatly changed situation in which we find ourselves.
Thank you very much for all of your insights, Richard. I'm sorely tempted to ask you whether or not your wife was buying security apparatus at the supermarket, and that might be something that the Indonesians would have been interested in, but I won't ask that. Because,
I think the answer would be no.
Okay, well, that's the official answer, Richard. Always good to talk. We'll speak again some other time.
Okay, nice to talk to you.
Richard Wolcott, former Australian ambassador to Indonesia. Waleed Ali with you for RN Drive. You can tell me what you buy at the supermarket if you like, if it's as exciting as that. 0418 226 576. Here till 8 o'clock.